Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, January 7th, and it's 1:30 p.m. This is Talk on the Rock, and I'm your host, Colette Zarnicki. Some of our firefighters will be heading to Seattle in a couple months to participate in the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Firefighter Stair Climbing Fundraiser. We have with us today Clay Hammer and Dustin Johnson. They're going to talk about their experiences with the fundraiser. You can call in to ask a question. The number to KSDK is 874-2345. So, hi, Clay and Dustin. How are you guys today?
Good.
Doing well. Thank you.
Good. Thanks for coming in. So, just to give a little background on the fundraiser, it happens March 9th. At Seattle's Columbia Tower, right? And it's 76 stories?
The tower is. The Columbia Center Tower is the second tallest building west of the Mississippi. And so it's obviously the biggest one in Seattle. We climb 69 flights.
69 flights?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yep. All right.
So in total, it's 1,356 stairs. Yep.
It's the great big black one in downtown Seattle, and it's really hard to miss.
So, yeah, like it's the tallest building in Washington, right?
Yes.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And so so this fundraiser raises money for blood cancer research and free patient support and provides advocacy for better healthcare policies. And correct me if I'm wrong, it's the 34th year this has been going on.
Yes, this is year 34. I think Wrangell's had good representation for probably around 13 of those years, of the last years.
Cool. How many times have both of you participated?
This is my 10th year climbing and raising money. 1 year I had to bow out for broke a bone in my foot, but
so this will be my third actual climb. I was all set to go when COVID hit, mm-hmm. and that was going to be my second one. So anyway, I kind of missed that one, but this will be the third actual one.
2020, they didn't have a climb at all. We still raised money for blood cancers, and 2021, we had a climb here outside of the hall. I drug the stair stepper out and climbed on that because they were still distancing, and then they started again in 2022.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, yeah, you had the stair stepper like you had during Midnight Madness, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Our training stepper.
That's right. We did kind of get credit for the work, didn't we? Even though we didn't actually get to do the climb itself. Yeah. So, I don't know. So, I can count this as my fourth one, maybe?
Yeah.
I'm curious, how many how many steps did you do on that stair climber
It tallies the floors, and so you did I think on our climber, you need about 74 flights, I think, to equal the 69 flights down there.
Yeah. It's a few more steps on the actual stair climbing machine than it is the actual one in Seattle. So,
but nothing prepares you for the actual climb.
For the real
because
deal.
there's a multitude of, you know, you have 2,000 guys and ladies walking into this tunnel. The temperature starts climbing. Everybody's on air packs, and I mean, it's probably a 3.5 foot wide, if that.
Yeah, just enough
stairwell.
Room for two guys to pass each
other.
It's
a fire exit. You
okay,
know?
You said 2,000 people.
2,000 climbers. Yep.
Wow.
And it sells out every year.
Yeah,
I think it's sold out now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Within hours, actually, of them opening it up for registration, it closes out really, really fast. You got to be on a hair trigger and ready to reserve your spot really quick, or you'll miss it.
So you have firefighters from all across the states. You have from either Chile or somewhere in South America and different countries, and it's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, as far as elevation wise, stair climb for firefighters, and so it draws a lot of people, and
literally all over. The farthest I think I ever saw anybody come was from Australia. There was a team that showed up from Australia that was all raring to go.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So, and that's to Seattle.
Yeah.
Because I read that there's 13 different stair climb like events throughout the whole nation. So everyone all over the world, like I assume they go to all of them, but to Seattle too.
So this one's you know, pretty much strictly for firefighters. Mm. And so you see a lot of that gung-ho A lot of them are fundraisers as well, but this one is, you're on air, you got your full turnout gear on, and it's a laborious event.
It's pretty sobering.
It's anywhere from the fastest guys do it in just under 11 minutes. Oh. 11 minutes to however long it takes.
That's
to get up there. And so you got guys all strewn about, 70 flights of stairs, and you got people cheering you on, and you got signs, and not to forget why we're there. It all the funds that we do raise go to Leukemia Lymphoma Society of Alaska and Washington. And so it's huge, not just for cancer research, but for our sparsely populated state and Washington to team up, for locals and relatives and people in Washington that we know to fight an awesome cause.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing, the whole workup to it. Because when we first commit to doing it, we realize that it's going to be a very strenuous exercise pulling this off, and it takes a lot of conditioning and prep work to get ready for it. And then there's the fundraising aspect of it too, which could be a lot of fun, especially if the team can get together and do some fundraising activities and stuff. That's always a good time. And then after all that prep work, we finally show up down in Seattle the day of, and we meet up at the ground zero of the Columbia Center, and that's when it really starts to hit you. You show up, and there's just literally thousands of other firefighters with all their turnout gear. Some of the teams really go all out. They've got big banners. They've got entire areas of the bottom floor cordoned off for their crew and for their team and everything. And then so everybody starts running around. You get your gear together, and then as you're waiting for your team to be drawn to head on up the stairs, that's when the ceremony starts, and it starts out with all the bagpipes and stuff start playing. And boy, I'll tell you what,
if you don't get hit by that, you got to check yourself, because every year once those bagpipes hit, you start tearing up. And I mean, there's people that speak, survivors and dedications, and everybody's on the same page. And yeah. Firefighters in general see a lot more. The percentage of getting a cancer as a firefighter is a lot higher than any other profession. I think it hits home a lot harder, and a lot of firefighters have been through it or seen it, just because of the occupation. And so for us, it's pretty humbling to, and like you said, when you're driving into Seattle, you can't miss the tower. And so morning of, you're going in at about 6 o'clock or maybe earlier. And you come down the crest of the hill, maybe I come from West Seattle, coming down that way. And you see it, and it's like, okay, it's the day.
It's the day. Time.
And it's always on daylight saving time. So that throws you an hour. That throws you an hour further in, into the morning, which it's hard enough to get up at 4 or 5, but
right.
But easy for the climb.
you get all set up, and they start with the survivor stories and everything, and like Dustin said, boy, I'll tell you what, if the bagpipes don't get you, the survivor stories will. But you're listening to this going on in the background, because you're usually focused on getting your gear ready and getting ready to take your spot. And then they call out your battalion number, and you start to line up, and you head on outside the building. And I'll let you take it from there, Dustin.
Oh, man.
You've done it more times than anybody.
I think they have 49 battalions.
Yeah.
Right? So, and depending on how you get your funding, how high your funding is, how quick you get it in, and whether you hit good numbers the year before, you can be in one of those earlier battalions. And sometimes the first battalion would be survivors, I think. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there'll be the VIP, the guys that, there's guys that raise, I think last year, Mike Mann, I think out of Seattle, raised like $45,000.
Just amazing.
I mean, and so there's some stations that are raising about 70,000 plus for the climb. They usually raise about over 2 million as their goal, I think, and they've beat that routinely, and that's a lot of money for a small, a small little climb. I mean, it's just 2,000 people raising money, but the reach you can see is awesome. But you get in line in all these battalions and work your way up, and it doesn't start kind of hitting you until you're right there and you can hear the beep, and where guys are beep. It's like any other race, like a marathon or something. You beep in to go into the
tunnels. You got your wristband on, yep. And the wristband, as soon as you wave that in front of the timer, that's when the clock starts.
And you hear everybody's air going.
Then it's all business after that. You head up that narrow hallway, and it just doesn't hardly seem wide enough for all these people to pass through. It's maybe two shoulders wide, and there's a gap between the climbers, and so you start out, and at first you're all by yourself, but pretty soon either you're catching up to people or people are catching up to you, and eventually you start to pass one another, but it never really gets jammed up super thick.
No.
I don't think I've ever seen more than maybe four or five people, climbers, grouped together in one spot, but it's just grueling from that point.
They pace about four climbers per minute. I think it's every 15 seconds you get in the tunnel. And so as you're climbing, there'll be slower guys. There'll be guys, you're checking on everybody, you're making sure everybody's good. And, you know, there's guys in the lead that are professional triathletes as well as wildland firefighters that have gotten, you know, 10 minute, 50 seconds, or, you know, that are just amazing
times.
Athletes. And I mean, full gear, you know, running up the stairs basically. And so it's an event. It's a nice quick one.
About halfway, just over halfway to the top is a air tank changeout station. And for the really, you know, top of the notch climbers, they don't even bother with that. They'll just race up to the top on one tank. But for, you know, old timers like
mortals.
Me, we really look forward to that stop in the middle, and the changing out of the tank gives you a chance to catch your air, and maybe grab a quick swallow of water before they slap that back on you and you head back on up for the rest of the climb.
Yeah, I imagine you're not drinking water while you're climbing.
It's
the halfway mark.
You got your mask on, and you basically leave it on. If you can, you rip it off at the halfway mark and get your water.
Yep, quick swallow and slap it all back on, and away you go again.
Oh my goodness! Wow. Yeah, thanks for sharing all that. That's amazing. So can you just give a personal experience, like what is it like for you individually, like with all that gear on, you know, because as you said that there's like many different types of people, some people who are marathon runners or whatever, but yeah.
Well, I guess for me, it's, for one thing, it's an amazing cause. You know, who doesn't know somebody that has had, you know, cancer and been affected by cancer? I think by the time you're probably 10 years old, we all know somebody that's been touched by it. And so it's very relatable. And so to be able to participate in this and help raise funds for that is pretty rewarding, I guess. Just to, you know, to be able to have a part in somehow maybe contributing to the cure for this thing. And so there's that aspect of it. And then there's the personal, physical, you know, challenge of pulling that off. And that for me, I'm 60 years old now. So no spring chicken necessarily anymore. And I spent a lot of time sitting behind a desk. And so for me, it is a very good way to get me off my tail and get out and get some exercise and, you know, condition and practice for this thing. And so it kind of gives me a goal that might not be there otherwise. And then, just the team aspect of it, being a part of this team with everybody coming together to do it is also a big part of this. So, and then there's the reward of actually showing up and getting to do it, and pulling it off, actually getting there to the top and surviving it. And then I have to tell you, that view from the top, it is absolutely second to none. It is absolutely amazing, the view from up there when you get up to the top and you get a chance to kind of do it like a little 360 degree trek around the top there. It's pretty impressive. So
yeah. And then going down, are you taking an elevator down or?
Absolutely.
You will probably wait in line for as long as it takes for the elevator.
Right. Yep. Yep.
The stairs are kind of taken, so.
Yeah, stairs are busy. To this day, I never have seen anybody go in the other direction.
No. Maybe sitting on a landing. But.
Right, yeah, catching five on the landing, but never going back.
You know, to touch on that, for me, like you said, we all have, you know, I've had family, cousins, aunts, grandmothers affected by cancer, and it does affect everybody. Mm-hmm. It's special for this one because it can come back home and help people around us and in our state that might not have the resources themselves. And you know, everything that we raise goes to LLSWA, and it all goes towards research or helping out people that are traveling that need help being affected by cancer. And so that's an easy one. You know, the fundraising is, it's hard because you lump them together in the competition. You know, everybody gets competitive, you know, yeah. down there, and it's all you against yourself, because none of us are gonna, you know, those top guys are breaking 11 minutes, and that's an amazing feat. But you know, it's like any other race where you're, you know, for me, I'm trying to better my times and further myself each year. And it, some years it's hard, some years it's, you know, and I have a good baseline doing it 10 years now. To where, but I'm still competitive enough to where I want to break my times and do better each year, and it's an amazing event. I mean, the climb is strenuous, but I'd say it's more, you know, you get a lot of, like, your heart starts, you know, melting when you go in there and thinking about everything, and you there's posters of people that have passed, family members of everybody that's climbing that have passed or friends, and so it hits you, and that's why we're there. Mm-hmm. And so that makes you, you know, not worry about your cramps or strain or anything else going, you know, through your body. It's easy to get up those stairs.
Yep.
And like you said, the halfway point, that's a nice break. And we usually do have bottle changers that go down with us or meet us there, and help us out. But the climb is fulfilling on different tiers, and it's an awesome event.
It sure is. Yeah, I think like my personal goal this year is to, you know, like survive it to the top. So
that's a good.
You mentioned a few of these professional climbers that can do it in 10, 11 minutes or whatever that. And, you know, I think if that's half the time it normally takes me. If I can pull it off in 20 to 22 minutes, I figure I'm doing okay. And
yeah.
I think you're what, down to 18 and some change now?
I've been at 19:30 for 3 years in a row. And
yeah.
So I'm looking to break that.
That's pretty good.
I was just going to ask you, how long has it taken both of you to climb? So,
boy, I don't think. Well, this will be an interesting year to see how if I beat my time from last year, or if I equate it, or if I do a little bit less. But if I could do it within 22 minutes, I'm pretty happy with that. So
I would say that's a good amount of time.
It's, for sure. It's brisk. It's a good time, and especially if you're layered in the middle of the climbers, sometimes you get stuck behind guys that don't peel off.
Yeah.
On levels, and so you're stuck at their pace, even though you might be able to push it a little harder.
Okay.
And so sometimes, and I've had a couple where you can go as fast as you can, you know, as you can, and there's nobody in the way, and it's amazing. And I've also been stuck in the 49th Battalion, the last battalion, and that's not the time you want to be in there, because it's hot, and there's gloves all over, and you know, maybe people getting sick or
yeah. So they did change things up a little bit to where before you used to have to be fully geared up in everything, including your gloves. But getting to the top with or without your gloves was kind of a gray area.
Right.
And so I remember the first couple of times that I did it, and just, you know, a few hundred yards inside the door, you just literally see piles of gloves where that would be the first thing that people would shed. but it's amazing what a difference that makes.
Oh, for sure.
Just having those gloves off of your hand, how much heat your hands hold in with those insulated gloves.
Hold it in.
Fortunately, I guess they've changed the rules up a little bit to where you don't necessarily have to wear your gloves anymore. So that's kind of nice.
Okay.
But almost like cheating. I think that the, you know, the hardcore guys, they
the
probably
purists.
Still, the purists still wear theirs. Yeah. But I think I left mine behind last time.
I've done it both ways, and it's definitely easier without the gloves on.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, everything, your boots, everything.
So your turnout gear, you got your boots, you got your bunker pants and coat, and you have a, what are they, 45 pound, you have your air pack,
mask.
Do you know how much all of that weighs? How much added weight that is?
I think it's 35, 40 pounds anyway,
at least, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So. And unfortunately, the air tank, it doesn't get lighter as you burn through the air.
So as it does get lighter, you do start depleting your air. And they're made to let you know when you're running low on air. And so in the tower, you will hear just a loud racket of, of alarms going off. And that's everybody, including mine, you know. Yep. And so that's more incentive to pick it up and get to that, either that the end or get to the midway point where you get a fresh tank.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because the spare tank is actually staged a little bit past the halfway point, which is actually kind of good because when you're a little bit fresher, you don't go through as much air. And so that first tank does take you a little bit farther. But then that last stretch, you're really getting tuckered and you're really burning through the air fast. And you need as much air to go through that last, third of the way as it took you to do the previous two-thirds. So it's kind of nice that they've thought of that ahead of time and staged things accordingly. It's pretty helpful.
Yeah. So who else in the Wrangell Fire Department is joining you all?
So last year, Clay and myself and Steve Persanka made it down there.
Just the three of
you? That was three of us last year.
Oh, wow.
And we've had prior years where we've had up to eight people. This year we'd have eight people. Steve Persanka, Clay, myself, Dee Dee and Adam Spray, and my wife Devin, and Jacob and Anna Allen are all going. So there'll be eight of us down there, and we will have, I believe, Scott McAuliffe is going to be changing our bottles. And last year, Sam Persanka, Steve's son, came up and helped us out and changed bottles, and I think he may come up this year as well. And so there's plenty of Wrangell representation. We've met people in the corridors, in the atrium before that either know Wrangell or have lived here before. Or people that have relatives in Wrangell. And so it's kind of cool. You get to see people from all over the states.
Yeah, that's amazing. And let's talk about your preparation. How have you been preparing for this? And how long have you been preparing?
Well, for me, it's been the holidays and Christmas. So I've been like
mentally,
bulking up.
Mentally preparing?
I've been bulking up, cookies, pie, that kind of stuff. And, I think I'm there now. So now it's time to start working on the cardio part of this thing. For me, it's hitting the stair climber and just getting out and getting moving. So I've just started this Peloton bike thing, which is kind of a new one for me. And I put in about a half hour on that thing yesterday. But for sure, the big one is hopping on that stair climb with the gear on and just putting in the time.
Are you doing that every day?
I'm still just breaking back into the rhythm after the holidays, and so that's kind of the plan.
Maybe we'll come back next week, and we can.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing that daily.
Yeah, that's the goal.
I used to swim and run and try to get ready in that fashion. Then I've done years where I climb, four or five times a week. I've basically been strength training and staying away from running and. But the stair climber, we have a stair climber at the hall, and there's one or two at the pool here, and we're able to use all those and get ready, get prepared.
Yep.
You can do it with little or no training. Not recommended.
It has been tried before.
You see guys every year. There's some firefighters that may stay out too late and regret it. And so you see all sorts of angles on the training.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you always prepared, workout prepare for this,
It's
your first year?
And that's part of signing up for it. It's like any other marathon or half marathon or race.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of sign up, and that itself drives you to
work
out.
Motivates you. Yeah.
Motivates you to get off the couch.
You don't want to let your team down.
No.
You don't want to bring everybody down, and so you get in there and you do your part.
Yeah. So will both of you just share a memorable moment that you've had in your previous years with the stair climb?
Gosh. Go ahead, Dustin. I want to think about that one.
I've seen, people that I've known down there, and we've had guests from Wrangell that have had cancer survivors, and we've dedicated the climb to them. And I mean, that there's nothing more than, than seeing somebody that's been through it and having them be part of it. It's really not the best spectator sport. It's really, I mean, because you're in a tunnel and you're out of the tunnel, and so it's hard for people to watch or to get into it. But everybody that's there and that sees the camaraderie and the united goal, I think you can feel it, and everybody's there for the same reason, and you get to share stories and kind of all grieve and go through things together, mm-hmm. and battle against cancer. I mean, you know, the goal is to snuff out, you know, the blood cancers as we can and do our best to do that. Mm-hmm. And so this is what we can do, and that kind of gives you the chills while you're in the building and mm-hmm. A sense of satisfaction for taking part. And it's a great summary of why we do it. I mean, just being down there, it's awesome.
I guess pretty much would mirror basically what you said there. There are all the prep work and stuff that went into it. And I remember my very first time doing it, and the conditioning and all that kind of good stuff, and all the build up, the fundraiser and everything, and then finally showing up the day of, and you round up all your stuff and you take your place in line, and then the ceremony starts and then the survivor stories and everything, and it all just hits you, the soberness of the event. And what it is that you're actually there for, and what it is that you're trying to accomplish. And then, I mean, all the work that you went into, the conditioning and everything, the fight that you did to get yourself to that position is absolutely nothing compared to the fight that these other people are literally doing, the survivors and stuff that have been through this stuff. And what you've just been through is absolutely nothing compared to what they've either done or what they're still going through. And it just... it puts you in your place. I tell you, it's just, it's very, very sobering. And it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing event.
Yeah. Thank you. So I saw that there's a fundraising total for the whole event, which would be $5 million, I believe, right? However, the Wrangell Fire Department raised around $7,000.
As of right now.
So how much does the fire department aim to raise?
We all have personal goals, and that will kind of mark that overall goal. And I don't think we sit and talk about where we're at. You can set your goals on prior years, your personal goals, and they all kind of add up to our team goal, I guess. And Steve Prasanka has done an amazing job this year and in prior years of fundraising and getting the word out and making some money for the LLSWA, but you know, like I in past years, I've roughly raised about $3,500 a season, and so that's usually where I set the bar and trying to break it. Competitive at fundraising, just as I am climbing the stairs. But you want to do the best you can for the organization. But we all kind of set them at different levels, depending on what we've done in the past. And some people can get matches from certain companies and things like that. And it definitely helps.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, Corey.
I'd agree. Yeah. It's, some people are, have difficulty putting themselves out there when it comes to fundraising and asking for money. And sometimes it's a little bit of a difficult thing to wrap your head around, mm-hmm. if you're not real good at it. And some people are good at it and some people aren't. And so, in a lot of cases, I think with different climbers and stuff, some people contribute in different ways. They may contribute to going out and knocking on doors or whatever, but maybe helping out with the group as a whole. So anyways, as far as personal goals, I haven't really set much of a goal except to do better than I did last year. So.
Yeah.
And we at the Midnight Madness in December, we raised, I think, just over $1,100 as a group. And so we'll disperse it between each other and put it in our accounts on the LLSWA site.
Nice.
And we're all linked into Facebook and asking routinely getting it out there. We do understand that there's multitudes in Wrangell, and that everybody's, it's a small community that has a big heart, and that we don't want to encroach on on sports and other people that are fundraising. But at the same time, get our cause out there and let people know that we are back again doing it. Yep. and raising money for a great cause. The other thing is that you know we all fund our own way down there. It comes out True. of mileage or pay for our tickets and hotels and so you know I don't want anybody to think that any of it goes back to the firefighters. It everything we do is aimed for the goodness of LLSWA.
Yeah.
and its causes.
How do people donate?
You can go online through Facebook. You can go to llswa.org and find a climber if you want to donate to a climber. Mm-hmm. It's pretty easy. Bottom of the page, you can enter last name in, find climbers that way. They revamped their website this year. I was getting just used to the old site, and so I've gotten a little comfortable with the new site recently. But it's llswa.org.
Okay, yep. LLSWA.org.
Yep, and so that's Leukemia Lymphoma Society of Alaska and Washington.
Okay, great. Yep. So we're about done. Is there anything else you guys want to share?
I just remembered one thing about it. Is I believe the day of, I believe that there is a televised live feed from mm-hmm. either the beginning or midpoint or the end.
Maybe both, the beginning and the end or something.
Something like that, yeah. And so if folks want to track us or if they know other people that are participating, I believe that they can log into the site and actually on the day of and track their teams as they're going through.
Yeah. So on the same website.
They should have a link on there of great. The live feed of the event.
Awesome.
And, just to throw it out there, Wrangell, is a special community. We are fortunate to be able to be firefighters here, and I'm proud of being able to give back to the community that raised me, and give what I can. And it's a great opportunity for people to learn, to give back at the Wrangell Fire Department. And I think that we have a fortunate, we're fortunate to have the department. I know that I'm fortunate to be on the department. And I love that we can help out the community, but this is just one other way that the department does reach out. And like I said, we've been doing it for at least 13 years for this climb, and it's just one little other thing that we can do yep. that's positive and gives back. But
yeah, awesome. Well, thank you so much to the both of you for coming in and talking about the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Firefighter Stair Climb Fundraiser. That was Dustin Johnson and Clay Hammer. We are now going to go ahead and go into World Cafe.